You're listening to True White Collar Crime. This is a show about financial crime and the people behind it. I like true crime, but I know murder can be a lot to handle sometimes. Don't necessarily want to listen to that every single podcast episode. So, we got some of the financial criminals for you on this show. And what do we got for you today? We have our man, Scott Tucker. This is episode number 4. I apologize for some of the audio quality on the previous episodes. I'm going to do what I can to see if I can get that up. I might do some re-recording, things like that. If you're listening on YouTube, please subscribe, like. It really helps out the channel, keeps motivation up for more episodes. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a review. It really helps with the rankings. Leave a 5-star review. It doesn't matter too much what you write, but that's much appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Let's get started. All right, so Scott Tucker. Scott was born on May 5th, 1962 in Kansas City, Missouri. He went to KSU, Kansas State, for 2 years and studied business there. In 1988, fast forwarding, he took out a $50,000 loan from a local bank and put up his Porsche as collateral. However, at the time he took out the loan, he no longer owned the car. He had sold it months earlier and lied about still having it so he could get the loan. He also was a part of a fake loan program to take money from businesses. Scott also posed as the president of an alleged high-powered bank called Chase Morgan, Stearns & Lloyd. Basically, he just took names from other existing banks and crammed them together. The whole company turned out to be a scam. The company pretended to have loans to offer, but in reality, they just took fees for loan origination and never provided the loans. Sneaky, sneaky. The scam netted the company over $100,000. Scott put ads in the New York Times and alleged ties between his banks and the other big banks that had similar names to his firm in order to sell the whole scheme. In 1991, Scott was convicted of 3 felonies. These included mail fraud and making false statements to a bank. There was also another charge related to that whole fake loan scam at Chase Morgan, Stearns, and Lloyd. All 3 of these charges land our boy Scott 1 year in Leavenworth, which that's not an establishment you would want to be in for very long if you can avoid it. Scott also admitted to spending some of the money in the advance fees during this time, and that was all wrapped up in the charges that he caught as well. When he got out of prison in 1992, he decided to go into a new line of business. This new business revolved around short-term or payday loans. Wouldn't be surprised, I don't know this from the research, but wouldn't be surprised if he learned a thing or two in prison about some other criminal hustles he could pursue. In 1997, Scott met Charles Hallinan. Charles agreed to be a silent investor in a payday lending company that Scott would be president of. Scott also signed a non-compete and agreed not to open another payday lending company. Charles made an initial investment of $500,000. So, common theme here, these people that we talk about on this podcast can raise some serious capital. My man is a convicted felon. He's still raising $500,000 in seed money. 1 month later, Scott actually declared bankruptcy, listed over $550,000 of debt in his paperwork, including over $200,000 that he owed to the IRS. The court cleared Tucker's debt through his bankruptcy, and Tucker did not disclose his financial interest in the new loan company during these court proceedings. In 2001, Scott violated his non-compete and opened another payday loan company called CLK Management. Many of the companies he opened during his career were named after Mercedes models. My man, you see this kind of often, like Enron, they had like quirky names. People, they get out of hand with the names. They get a little too cute with it. It's too easy for people to track. Scott set up placeholder companies in Nevada. He used them as mailing addresses for his actual operations that were payday loan companies, including Cash Advanced, Preferred Cash Loans, and United Cash Loans. Scott also owned a company called AMG Services that was able to offer payday loans in states where it was unlawful to do so by partnering with various Native American tribes. Scott thought he would be able to exploit a loophole in the law and use the Indian tribes he partnered with as a shield from the U.S. laws that made his lending illegal. In 2004, he registered AmeriLoan, United Cash Loans, U.S. Fast Cash, 500 Fast Cash, and One Click Cash. My man is on point with these names. Officially, these companies partnered with the Native American tribes, but they continued to do all their business away from Indian land. The website stated that these companies were approving thousands of borrowers for short-term loans every day. In 2006, Scott opened a race team and decides to be the driver as well. He first competed in the Rolex sports car series. He would go on to create Level 5 Motorsports and spend millions on his racing teams. Notable racing events for his teams included Le Mans as well, which has the 24-hour race involved in it. Charles Hallinan checked back in, my man who loaned Scott Tucker $500K, checked back in on the money he had loaned him previously. Tucker told Hallinan he created a new payday loan company, but he gave Hallinan the impression that this new company was a part of their previous operation. In reality, though, Tucker had created a completely new company and removed all the valuable pieces of the previous firm and moved them to a company that he was completely under his control. So he kind of robbed the previous company of all the valuable assets. Hallinan discovered he filed a lawsuit against Tucker. And in the course of this lawsuit, he also discovered that Scott had a huge majority of the control over his dealings with the Native American tribes. It wasn't an equal partnership by any stretch of the imagination. Rather, Tucker was providing the tribes a small cut of the profits in return for the shield that their sovereign laws provided. One lawsuit from citizens of California uncovered that the Modoc tribe, who did business with Tucker, only received 1 to 2% of revenues. In 2008, Tucker took part in four races with his team. In 2009, his race team took third place at a race at Watkins Glen. In 2010, he won Rookie of the Year in the American Le Mans series. Tucker's team won 47 total races throughout the life of the team. In May 2014, a grand jury sent a subpoena to AMG Services regarding charges of wire fraud. Oh, also money laundering and racketeering. Blaine Tucker, unfortunately, took his own life as a result of these charges coming down. Allegedly. That, I'm sure there were a lot of other things going on in his life at the time, but that was something that happened as a part of this whole process. Joel Tucker, these are all relatives of Scott's, I believe all brothers. Joel Tucker was fined $4 million for selling fake loan bundles to debt collection agencies. So instead of having debts that were actually on their books and real that they would offload to these collectors, they were fabricating data and selling debt collectors fake lists of people who didn't actually owe money. In early 2015, AMG Services and MME Services paid a $21 million fine to avoid almost $300 million in additional fines that could have been brought against them. Scott was arrested in early 2016. His charges stemmed from a law similar to a RICO law, and they came from New York City. He was fined $1.26 billion personally as a result of his role in this scheme. I think that's the largest fine that's ever been handed down. It was record-setting at the time, according to my research. In late 2017, Scott was convicted of 14 charges. The charges all stemmed from illegal payday lending and racketeering. He was also charged with violations of the TILA Act, Truth in Lending Act. TILA is a regulation put in place to make sure that borrowers are clear on the terms of the loan when they borrow money. TILA requires the lender to be upfront about any finance charges, what kind of interest they're charging, the percent rates, all that, and the total amount of money that people will owe at the end of the life of the loan. Scott's TILA violations included putting on the loan material that the borrower would owe about $150 of interest for every $500 they borrowed, which is a crazy amount of interest off the bat. But in reality, his companies would withdraw the total amount of interest due for the loan each payday, and they would leave the principal untouched. So they would continue to take this amount for, you know, maybe 4 or 5 pay periods, and unless the borrower paid additional money over and above what they were taking out as kind of that minimum payment, the principal would be intact. It wouldn't be paid down at all. And the typical loan from one of these payday companies owned by the Tucker family charged over $1,400 in finance charges alone for a $500 loan, which is drastically more than the $150 stated in the Tyler box. So you can see how this scheme was very lucrative and why such a huge, over $1 billion fine was passed down on Scott at the end of the day. The government found that the role of the Native American tribes in the scheme was small, and that Scott Tucker fabricated documentation to make their role look larger, and often even controlled the tribal accounts that were tied to the their portion of the payday lending operation. Scott had been sued for wrongdoing several times earlier, but unfortunately, this apparent Native American partnership that provided him with a kind of a shield of sovereignty caused previous judges to throw out the charges. So this wasn't the first time that this they'd been looked into. Scott is currently serving a 16-year, 8-month sentence in Leavenworth as a result of his activity and his involvement with this scheme. His lawyer also received a 7-year prison sentence for his role. These businesses were able to bring in more than $3.5 billion between 2008 and 2013. These companies lent money to over 4.5 million United States citizens. So more than 1% of the country. In 2018, the Federal Trade Commission issued 1.2 million checks worth over $500 million total to the victims of the scheme to try and pay them back a little bit. But overall, this was a huge racket. Scott Tucker was making money hand over fist and loaning money to the poorest Americans who weren't really investigating the terms of these loans very closely. And even if they had, they may not have been able to catch the deception that was there. And went to jail for a long time, still in jail. And, you know, probably deserves to be there. Definitely deserves to be there. Sources for this episode, they include, there's a podcast called Crime and Sports, which is fabulous. You should go check that out. They did an episode on Scott Tucker. I'll link it below. There is a show on Netflix called Dirty Money, which did an episode on Scott Tucker, and he actually appeared in that. So he volunteered to be a part of that and talked about everything that was going on. So you can get his perspective there. There's a Wikipedia article on Scott Tucker, which gives a great overview of what went on. And there's also a justice.gov article, which talks about kind of the trial, the legal proceedings, and repossessing the cars, things like that. And yeah, that's the show we have today. Thank you all for listening. Please like and subscribe on YouTube. Keep you updated. Don't forget about the show and what we have going on here. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star review. It really helps to kind of spread the word about the podcast. Doesn't matter too much what you say in the review. But yeah, I thank you all for listening. This is True White Collar Crime. I'm Sean McKenna. You can find me on social media @SeanMcKennaX. Thank you again, and we'll see you next week. Bye.